Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. I would like to read the first 9 verses of Leviticus chapter 1. I'm actually going to plan, Lord willing, to deal with the first 5 verses this evening. Then I'd like to just say a little something about the first 5 chapters before I actually get into the first 5 verses. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." Now, I want to look, Lord willing, over the next few weeks, possibly on Sunday nights, I'll just see how it goes. But I would like to look at the offerings that were made, that dealt with in the first 5 chapters of the book of Leviticus. Now, if you read this book, you know, and I know, and I'm going to be the first to admit that when you first read the book of Leviticus, you read it and you read the next chapter and you read the next chapter and you read the next chapter, and you say, well, it appears as though to me that it's saying basically the same thing. It's saying the same thing over and over and over. And it's calling one offering this, and then another offering this, and what's the difference? What's actually being said? Well, there were 5 offerings, 5 major, 5 great offerings that were offered there in the wilderness by the priest. One of them was called the burnt offering. Now, what I want us to understand before we go any farther is that every offering, you know this, every offering was dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ. Now, you know that. We can't get away. There's nothing that was written in all of Scripture that's not concerning Him. The Lord said, speaking to the 2 on the road to Emmaus. I've brought this up time and time again. And he said, beginning with Moses. Now that's what we're looking at right here. First 5 books of the Bible, written by Moses. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures those things concerning Himself. Well, the first offering that we are considering was called the burnt offering. Now, the burnt offering was the offering. And remember, every offering is concerning Christ. But the burnt offering was the offering that set forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the willing, spotless Lamb in His death that was a sweet savor to the Father. Now that's what the burnt offering set forth. It was as if we're going to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at Him in these aspects of His office, as if here's a chapter, and it's written on here's Christ, the willing sacrifice, the sacrifice that was spotless, the sacrifice that was a sweet savor to the Father. In another chapter of the first five books of Leviticus, there's an offering that was called the meat offering or the meal offering. Now this offering set forth the sinless character of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the pleasure of the Father in His life. Now see, the burnt offering was the sweet savor of satisfaction to the Father in the death of our Lord, the willing, spotless Lamb in His death. Oh, the savor of the satisfaction of the Father. Burnt offering. Meat offering is the sinlessness, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ in His life as He walked in this life. That's what the meat offering was. Then there was an offering called the sin offering. Now that offering was the offering that was made. It was made outside the camp. And that offering was the offering that set forth the elect's substitute, our Lord and Savior, who at Calvary bore the imputed guilt of all of the elect and of the wrath of Almighty God, who turned His back on the substitute, on the Lamb, who died for the nature of our sin, our guilt, our nature. Now you think about this. Here He is. The sin offering is the offering that set forth the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the imputed guilt, and the wrath of Almighty God was poured out upon Him. God Almighty, in absolute justice, dealt with Him as the sinner's substitute. You see the difference what we're talking about? Here is Christ, the guilt bearer, wrath of God poured out upon Him. Sin offering, burnt offering, willing, the sweet savor of the Father, the meat offering, the perfect Savior who walked this earth, our representative, fulfilling the law. And then there was an offering called the peace offering. That was the offering that set forth the Lord Jesus Christ, our reconciliation to the Father, having made peace through His blood. And then lastly, there was one called the trespass offering that set forth the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Now this sacrifice set forth Him who pardons us from sins, the sins of our nature. You say, well, I thought that that was the sin offering. Listen, here's the difference. The sin offering was the offering where the guilt, what we are, laid upon Christ, and the imputed guilt of the Lord Jesus, the imputed guilt of the elect laid on Christ, sin offering. He died. And here the trespass offering are those sins whereby He ever liveth to make intercession. Let me ask you something. Was your guilt, you who believe, was your guilt, do you believe that your guilt, your nature, who you are, Paul said, I've crucified with Christ. Do you believe that your guilt, your sin, nature, he was made to be sin. Do you believe that that was laid on Christ? Yes, you do. I'll answer it for you. That wasn't a trick question. The guilt of God's elect laid on him. Let me ask you this. Do you sin today? Do you sin today? Huh? The sin offering, here's Christ, the guilt bearer. The trespass offering is that offering that was made setting forth Christ, who is our intercessor right now, pleading His own blood. And God Almighty forgives us today. We come before Him, as Brother Bob was just praying, asking the Lord to forgive us for the sin. You see, you say, well, you're saying basically the same thing. No, I wasn't. Here's the aspects, the different aspects of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. These different offerings. So when you read them, there's a sense in which we read them and we say, well, that just kind of overlaps one over the other. And I don't doubt that in the least. There's the sacrifice. There's the setting forth of the Lord Jesus Christ in these five offerings. But what it does is it sets forth Him in the aspects of His office. The sin bearer, the intercessor, the perfect representative who walked, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So tonight, I want us to look for just a few moments at the first five verses of Leviticus chapter 1. Now, this passage that we deal with tonight is concerning how a sinner, one deserving the wrath of Almighty God, might find acceptance with God Almighty, and how that sinner can approach God. How? We're coming here tonight. Now listen, we're sitting tonight and we're listening to what the Scripture has got to say. I want to know exactly, what does God Almighty say how I might approach Him? There's coming a time, I know this, that I'm going to die. And then I'm going to leave this world and immediately will be in eternity. I want to know. God has spoken. I want to know. What has He got to say? God alone has the right to prescribe the way in which He shall be worshipped. Don't we agree with that? How He can be approached. And that way of worship is a priceless privilege. How do you put a price on being able to come and sit? And by faith given from above. That faith, that wasn't yours by nature. It was given unto you to believe. What a privilege. Wouldn't you say that was priceless? Priceless. Person leave this world. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give for the gift of faith to believe what God has got to say? There's one way by which a sinner might approach God. One way. You know this. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 14:6 says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. This has always been the way in which Almighty God would be approached by the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, realizing that all Scripture is concerning Him, that may God Almighty grant us the reverence to seek Him, to search Him, and by His Spirit, have His Spirit reveal to us this evening in this passage, Christ Jesus the Lord. The Scripture says, verse 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them. Now I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. The Lord called unto Moses. Almighty God, the Scripture says, spoke to Moses. The first thing that we must see out of that Scripture right there, Almighty God only speaks through a mediator. Only. God Almighty speaks. Moses here is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, the one who alone is qualified to represent both God and man. Christ, the Lord spoke to the people, spoke to Moses. He's a type. Moses there is a type. And the Scripture says that he spoke out of the tabernacle. That's what it says in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he spoke out of the tabernacle. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know this, is our tabernacle. Christ is our tabernacle. Look just back in the book of Exodus, the last chapter right there, chapter 40. It says, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 33, but if you read the entire chapter of Exodus, chapter 40, what the Lord did was He gave Moses some explicit instructions on how he was to set up the tabernacle. The Lord spoke in that chapter 40, after he had told him, look at verse 24 of Exodus 40. He said, put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward, you know, and he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 28, he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar of the burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation and offered upon it the burnt offering, the meat offering as the Lord commanded. He set, verse 30, the laver between the tent of the congregation of the altar and put water there to wash in. Almighty God gave Moses explicit instructions on how this tabernacle was to be set up. After that tabernacle was set up, it had curtains that were set up. We dealt with this last Wednesday out of Song of Solomon when the bride was confessing what she is by nature. She said, I'm black, but I'm comely. I'm as the tents of Kedar, but I'm as the curtains of Solomon. The curtains of the Lord Jesus Christ is what she was talking about. These curtains were set up. This laver, this altar, candlesticks, all of these things were set up, the tabernacle. And it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 33 Exodus 40, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day in that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Here is the tabernacle. It is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every bit of it, all of it, is a picture of Him. And Almighty God, after having told Moses exactly how to set that tabernacle up, which was a picture of Christ, the Scripture says, then the Lord descended into that tabernacle, and He spoke to Moses out of the tabernacle. Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ Jesus is the Word of Almighty God. God speaks to His people. Almighty God is only heard through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made flesh. And here is this tabernacle. And God Almighty called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle. And he said, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any of you will bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Now let me tell you what happened here. There was a tent set up, this outer wall. And when one was to bring an offering, he came through this gate, this opening, this door. And the first thing that he came to when he walked into that outer court, not the inner court, I'm talking about the outer court, there was an altar. It was the brazen altar that was set right inside the door. That was the first thing that that offerer met. When that priest was there, there was the brazen altar right there. The inner court, he didn't go. Right here is where he was going to have to meet. That brazen altar was for the burnt offering. That burnt offering was the fire on that burnt altar, brazen altar, was to never go out. Never. So here we are. Here is where the burnt offering is going to be placed. That burnt offering, remember, is a picture of our Lord willing. The Scripture says, if His offering be a burnt offering of the herd, let Him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the congregation before the Lord. Now, this offerer, he would bring this offering. He would bring that offering, the Scripture says, willingly. Almighty God must be approached only in a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. If He's going to be drawn near, it must be by the Lord Jesus Christ, who that burnt sacrifice pictures. He says, you take of the cattle of the herd, of the flocks. These were not to be wild beasts. It was to be clean animals, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect. It was to be brought of the door of the tabernacle. The burnt sacrifice was exclusively for the eye and for the heart of Almighty God. Truly, only the Father can behold the work and the worth of the sacrifice. This burnt offering, man was blocked from fellowship with Almighty God by sin. And fellowship could not be had without being approached in a sacrifice. The burnt sacrifice. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ willing. Christ is the door. He is the way. Remember I said when He came in, the first thing they saw was that brazen altar. Christ, our door. Our willing door, our perfect door, that door that is the sweet savor to the Father. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth, willing to obey the Father's will. There must be a willing heart, or there is no worship whatsoever. God's people, the Scripture says, are made willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. So here was a man. He would bring this sacrifice. He would bring it to the priest. The Scripture says, in verse 4, He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, whenever this offering was brought, willingly it was brought, that sacrifice was taken and given to the priest. Now, I want you to turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 29. And look in verse 10 and 11. Exodus 29, verse 10 and 11. Thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now look at verse 15 through 18. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Thou shalt slay the ram. Thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. Thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them into his pieces unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It's a burnt offering unto the Lord. It's a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, you're saying, why are you making that distinction? Here was a lamb, a ram, a cattle, brought to the priest. The priest would take it. Now, this sacrifice was brought willingly by that one to make an offering. And he would give it to the priest, and the priest would put his hands on that animal. And it says back in Leviticus 1:4, he put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. The issue here is that Almighty God is only approached in a priest. This man would come, and that priest would take it. The one that the Father, that God Almighty, had appointed to be the priest. A man doesn't just come and approach God. A man doesn't come, just walk in, just say, well, this is the way I think I'm going to offer my sacrifice unto the Lord. I think I'm going to just walk right in there and I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a free will offering. No. God Almighty approached only in the appointed method. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We need a priest. We need a mediator. I need one to approach God for me. So he would take this animal, give it to the priest, and the priest himself put his hands on the head of that burnt offering. And it was accepted. Look at verse 4. It was accepted for him to make atonement for him. He put his hand, Christ Jesus himself, is our high priest. He is our willing sacrifice. He's the priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the altar. Almighty God is approached only in Him. Willing. Willing. Pure. And the savor of His sacrifice, it's accepted. This truth is declared in 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is love. Love with us is literally what that says. Here is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Nothing short of this affords any hope for the sinner. Here a sinner would bring an offering willingly. Willingly. He would bring it and he would give it to the priest. And the priest would actually offer for, in the stead of, that sinner, and it was accepted before Almighty God for him. Identification is to say that as before Almighty God, I come before Him, seeking presence with Him, to be known of Him, but I can't approach Him myself. I cannot come into His presence myself. I need a priest, one that can approach God Almighty for me, one who can speak for me. I can't approach God. I know that. Christ, our priest. We are complete in Him. We are accepted in the Beloved, in the laying on of the hands by the priest, the sinner, by faith, repents, bows to God's remedy. This Lamb, that Lamb that will receive death, that's what I deserve. That Lamb, in the willingness in which He's given, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the willing. That Lamb right there that was without blemish, perfect sacrifice. In Him, no blemish. I'm not going to get into it right now, but I will just say this, Lord willing. Next week in verse 6, look at verse 6. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it says right there, He shall flay, F-L-A-Y, the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. I'll go into this in a little bit more depth, but let me tell you what that was saying right there. When that animal was brought, that priest would look at it on the outside. There's no sores. I don't see any sores. I don't see any cuts. I don't see any bruises. I don't see... He's without blemish on the outside. But before that animal was burned, to flay means to cut the skin off. Cut the skin off. And cut it in pieces. Take all and cut next to the bones and cut through the joints and cut everything. He was... not only perfect outwardly, He was perfect inwardly. Cut the skin off and just laid Him bare. He's perfect. The perfect willing sacrifice. This is our Lord and Savior. Then the Scripture says in that verse 4, He shall put His hand upon the head of the burnt sacrifice. That word put right there means to lean upon. I lean on Him. That priest was going in the stead of, Neil, for this guy. Now you think about this. Now here is a priest. This man brings this animal. And it's a animal without blemish. And he brought it. And that priest looked at it. And that priest made the judgment call. If that animal. And he cut the skin off of that animal. And there's not just outwardly. But then he dissected, cut it in the prescribed manner, just exactly. And all of those pieces, there's no blemish here. This is no blemish here. But before he'd cut it, he had leaned on that. And that priest, in the stead of this one, for him, and it was accepted of Almighty God. This is the association that a believer has with that sacrifice that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that priest would lean upon that animal. Song of Solomon 8:5 says, Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? The sinner is here confessing before Almighty God. This is my hope. This is my plea. This animal, which is a picture of Christ, willing, perfect, sweet savor unto the Father. This is my hope, that this animal pictures him. Not that there was any hope in the animal. You know that. The blood of bulls and goats doesn't put away sin. Christ Jesus alone puts away sin. But that picture that it set forth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sacrifice was willingly laid down for me. The one that Almighty God accepted without blemish, He accepted for me. The one that was a sweet savor of Almighty God before Him, that was for me. For we, 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, are unto God. Now listen to this. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, He died willingly. He died without blemish in Himself. I know that our guilt was laid upon Him. I know that He was made to be sin, but in Him there was no sin. It was perfect. And when He laid down His life, He laying down His life, that was a sweet savor to the Father. He came into this world to redeem them that Almighty God had given Him from the foundation of the world. And when He laid down His life, I know, and I will tell you again, and I'll remind you of this, Lord willing, till I preach through these different sacrifices. I know that the wrath of Almighty God was spewed out upon the Lord Jesus Christ without a doubt. There's no doubt about that. And the sin offering, that's exactly the point of the sin offering. But this burnt offering, though this burnt offering actually died, was cut, the skin was taken off of it. The parts were cut up, laid bare to show there was no blemish here. There's nothing you're going to find outwardly or inwardly. This is Him, perfect. But when that sacrifice was laid on there, you go back and read that ninth verse. His inwards and His legs shall He wash in water. Now here again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but those inwards right there, I'll tell you who that's talking about. That's talking about His people. Chosen in Him. Him, His inwards and His legs, their walk, shall He wash in water. We're washed in the water of His Word. And the priest shall burn all on the altar. We've sacrificed with Him to be a burnt sacrifice and an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. We are in the person of our substitute, a sweet savor. As He is, we are in this world. Almighty God smelled the savor of satisfaction in the perfect sacrifice, the willing sacrifice. He said, I lay down my life. No man takes my life from me. I lay down my life of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. Willing sacrifice. Almighty God. And then the Scripture says He shall kill. And I'm going to just, Lord willing, take up here next week, next Sunday night. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that's by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall take it. The priest shall take it. This is going to be done before the Lord. And it says that the sons of Aaron will take that blood and sprinkle that blood. Perfect remembrance that we have of this. That actually speaks of the application of His sacrifice was for me and for you that believe, for His people. The application of that animal was slain, perfect, willing, came down, and that animal was killed and the blood was sprinkled. You remember when the Lord told Moses in Egypt. He said, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to take it and kill it. I want you to take the blood of that sacrifice. Now you know that that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take that blood and I want you to apply it on the door. The application. The sacrifice is a picture of Him who died. The burnt offering setting forth the willing, perfect sacrifice. That is a sweet Savior, a savor of life. And what did God Almighty tell Moses? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There's the application of what He did applied to His people. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar that's by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. When I see the blood, the burnt offering is the offering that sets forth the willing, perfect sacrifice. It was a sweet savor unto the Father, the burnt sacrifice. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before You, how we thank You, oh, for the setting forth of our Lord and Savior, who willingly laid down His life, who willingly gave of Himself in obedience to You, in obedience to being sent into this world, chosen, elect, and we in Him. How we thank You for Him who willingly gave of Himself for us, our substitute, He who pleased You. Lord, in Him, in our Redeemer, in our substitute, we pleased You totally upon the merit of His sacrifice. How we thank You and bow before You with thanksgiving this evening for Christ's sake. Amen. Pat, would you lead us in a verse?